errors were commonplace, complicating the calculations. To end the confusion, the owners had decided to split their teams into two divisions and match up the division winners in a single game that determined the league title. They hoped the championship contest might one day become a landmark event, like baseball's World Series. The game at the Polo Grounds, a renowned baseball venue, had mixed results. A brutal ice storm hit New York, limiting the crowd to slightly more than half of the stadium's capacity. That was disappointing, but the game itself was memorable. The visiting Chicago Bears, undefeated and heavily favored, built a lead and seemed in control until the New York Giants switched from cleats to sneakers after halftime to improve their footing on the icy field. The Giants proceeded to score four straight touchdowns and win by a wide margin. Some of the other team owners had attended the game as a show of support, and now they were meeting to review their season, consider rule changes, and present a championship trophy to Tim Mara, who owned the Giants. The second-floor conference room quickly filled. Mara, tall and grinning, was among the early arrivals. Known in New York sports circles more as a horse racing bookmaker and boxing promoter than as a football team owner, he was accompanied by his 26-year-old son Jack, who handled the Giants' business as the team's president. George Halas, who owned and coached the Bears, also arrived early along with his older brother. A fiercely competitive Midwesterner who had played for the Bears until he was 34 years old, Halas was in no mood to congratulate the Giants again after praising them in his post-game interviews with reporters the day before. But his scowl gave way to a sporting smile. Tim Mara was his rival on the field, but a good partner in the football business, deserving of a handshake. Wearing a high-collared suit and round glasses, Joe Carr, the league's president since 1921, sat at a head table ready to run the meeting. Also present were Bert Bell and Lud Ray, former University of Pennsylvania football teammates who co-owned the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the league's newest teams. George Preston Marshall, an opinionated laundry magnate who owned the Boston Redskins, and Art Rooney, a diminutive, cigar-chomping sportsman and gambler who owned the Pittsburgh Pirates. The owners of the Brooklyn Dodgers and Detroit Lions rounded out the group. When the meeting began, the men gathered around Carr and the Maras. Carr uttered words of congratulation to the elder Mara and presented his son with the Ed Thorpe Memorial Trophy, a silver-plated cup named for a well-known referee, rules aficionado, and equipment supplier who had died earlier that year. The lone photographer on hand, representing a wire service, snapped a photo that would run in the New York Times and other newspapers around the country the next day, giving the NFL a rare moment of widespread publicity. The photographer quickly departed after that, as the owners returned to their seats. They had much to discuss. Although their just-concluded season had produced several positives, it was not clear the NFL was headed in the right direction. Its average per-game crowd of 13,247 in 1934 set a record, but larger crowds in Chicago and New York had pulled that figure up. Other than the Bears and Giants, most teams drew poorly and lost money. The pitiful Cincinnati Reds had suspended operations after scoring 10 points and allowing 243 in 8 games. Forcing Carr to take on a semi-pro squad, the St. Louis Gunners, as a late-season replacement. The Gunners then beat Rooney's Pirates in their first game, making quite a statement about the modest caliber of the league's lower echelon. The NFL had formally organized in 1920 out of a loose coalition of semi-pro squads, mostly located in small and mid-sized towns in America's industrial belt. By 1926, 22 teams were competing for the league title, but most had since folded, unable to draw crowds or even break even financially. Long gone were such squads as the Rock Island Independents, Pottsville Maroons, and Dayton Triangles. The Packers, in tiny Green Bay, Wisconsin, were the last surviving remnant of the NFL's industrial town origins. Carr had led a drive to make the league more of a big city venture,